Ladies and gentlemen, good day, and welcome to the Pilgrim Projects Limited Q4 and FY 2026 earnings conference call hosted by Churchgate Partners. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Shraddha Tailge, Chairman and Managing Director of Pilgrim Projects Limited. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us today for Pilgrim Projects Q4 and financial year 2025-2026 earnings call. It is always a special moment for me to speak directly with our investors, stakeholders, and people who are taking interest in our journey. On behalf of the entire Pilgrim family, I sincerely appreciate your time today and continued trust in us. FY 2025-2026 has been a transformational year for Pilgrim Projects. This was not just a year of financial growth, it was a year where we laid the foundation for the next phase of our evolution as a global engineering and technology-led organization. We successfully completed our IPO journey this year, expanded internationally, strengthened our capabilities, invested in infrastructure and technology, and most importantly, continued building an organization designed for a long-term scalable growth. When I look back at our journey, Pilgrim started with a vision of creating a globally competitive engineering company from India. Today, that vision is gradually becoming reality as we continue strengthening our position across structural engineering, building information modeling, steel detailing, precast detailing, and now architectural and interior services as well. The global AEC and BIM industry continues to create exciting opportunities. Across the United States, Europe, and Australia, clients are increasingly seek optimization, faster execution, and digital engineering capabilities. This shift is creating a long-term opportunity for organizations like us that combine engineering expertise with a scalable delivery capabilities. One of the biggest milestone this year was our successful completion of our IPO. This is not merely a financial milestone for us, it marks a new chapter in Pilgrim's journey. Becoming a listed company strengthens our governance, transparency, and overall business credibility and gives us a stronger platform for future expansion. Another strategic milestone was our acquisition of Edward Farr Architects in the United States. This acquisition goes beyond adding another company into our portfolio. It allows Pilgrim, the parent company, to expand further into architectural and planning capabilities and creates stronger integration across the overall AEC value chain. Historically, our strengths were deeply rooted in engineering, BIM, detailing services, but with Edward Farr Architects now becoming a part of the ecosystem, we can increasingly participate across a wider project life cycle, right from the architecture, interior designing and planning, to engineering and BIM execution. This expands our service offerings, increases cross-selling opportunities internally, and enhances our positioning as a broader AEC solution partner globally. Now, coming to our financial performance of FY 2025-2026. Our revenue from operations stood at approximately 40.2 crores as compared to 25.6 crores in FY 2024-2025, reflecting a strong year-on-year growth of around 57%. EBITDA stood at 9.55 crores with EBITDA margins of 24%, while profit after tax reached 5.9 crore with PAT margins of 15%. Our core business growth remained strongly driven by customer additions, capacity expansion, and improved execution across global markets. On the quarterly front, Q4 revenue stood at 14.4 crores, growing 13.7% year-on-year and nearly 58% sequentially. Q4 EBITDA stood at 5 crore with margins of 35%, while PAT stood at 3.3 crore with margins of 23%. These numbers reflect improving operational efficiency, stronger project execution, and continued traction from international opportunities. One important update that I would like to highlight in our current order book visibility. Today, across our structural and architectural business segments, our current active order book stands at approximately 25 crores. We believe this is a strong indicator of demand momentum and provides good visibility as we move into the coming financial year. Operationally, we continued strengthening our global delivery infrastructure. This year, our Nashik office became operational effectively and supports future scalability requirements. Our SDS2 team has expanded significantly, improving our capabilities in steel detailing and connection design, supporting the previously acquired companies, that is Midwest and Draftco in the United States. We also strengthened our international footprints across the US, UK, Europe, Australia, while continuing to evaluate opportunities in Canada, New Zealand, and Southeast Asia. Technology remains one of our strongest focus areas. At Tailgate, we do not want technology merely as a support function. We want it to become a differentiator. And that's why our investments in AI-enabled BIM dashboards, automation tools, workflow optimization, and internal R&D initiatives are focused on improving productivity, increasing execution quality, and building long-term operating leverage. Over time, we believe these investments can help us create a stronger operational efficiencies and potentially build proprietary intellectual capabilities as well. Our visibility and brand recognition also continue to grow globally. Participation in events such as World of Concrete and the Precast Show this year helped strengthen our market positioning and customer outreach efforts. Additionally, being invited as a panelist during Trimble User Days reflects increasing industry recognition and trust in our technical expertise. While growth and numbers are important, our people continue to remain at the center of our journey as always. We continue investing in the talent development, organizational culture, employee engagements, and building leadership capabilities, because ultimately, companies are built by the people. Looking ahead, we remain optimistic about the opportunities in front of us. With a stronger balance sheet, healthy cash position, growing order visibility, expanded capabilities, and global leadership team, we believe Tailgate Projects is entering an exciting phase of growth going forward. We will continue focusing on scaling operations globally, expanding architecture and engineering capabilities altogether, strengthening technology integration, and creating sustainable long-term value for all of our stakeholders. I would like to sincerely thank our investors, clients, and employees, and the partners for believing in our journey so far and being a part of this growth story. Thank you. And with this, I will now open the floor for the questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star, then one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants, you are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. A reminder to all, you may press star and one to ask a question. We will take the first question from the line of Amit Mehendale from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity. Ma'am, my first question is on outlook for revenue growth for next couple of years, like 27 and 28. And also, if you could guide on the EBITDA margins going forward.
Okay. Thank you for your question, sir. I will try to answer this question on a broader scale. In the medium terms, we are confident to achieve 60 to 70% CAGR growth in the upcoming financial year, that is FY26-27, and relatively the next years as well. And talking about the EBITDA and PAT, now as the Q4 results are open to everyone, so we are trying to have the same numbers of EBITDA and PAT in the upcoming years.
Okay, ma'am. Thanks for that. And for revenue growth, could you talk a little bit about your go-to-market strategy? Like, how are we acquiring customers? What type of sales pipeline do we have? You know, any visibility on the funnel? Like, what is at the top of the funnel and how do we convert? Any, you know, meaningful color will be great.
Sure. So, as I mentioned, we are having our current order book of 25 crores and there is a pipeline of 6 crores approximately that is in the bidding stage. We call it as an RFQ stage. And that might get converted anytime between 2 weeks or up to a month. And that is for a short term. In long terms, what we are looking at now that we have acquired Edward Fire Architects, there will be a big benefit of cross-selling. The customers that Edward Fire is having, we are trying to cross-sell our services to them and vice versa. This is going to benefit us by increasing our project ticket size. That is one of the factors. And another thing is we have additionally expanded our capacities so that we can occupy more projects in the coming years. Right now, we are targeting not only fabricators, but also the general contractors, design build companies, developers, so that we can have the complete project that can be executed on our end. Yeah.
Right. So on just to, you know, kind of discuss a little bit on the revenue, see, you know, our revenues, if you take a 60% CAGR, effectively we'll hit 60 crore odd, you know, and then maybe 90-100 crores later on. So that type of visibility I don't see in the order book. So what gives us confidence that we'll grow at a, such a high, you know, rate?
So usually our order book keeps building throughout the year. So it's not like at the start of the year, but every month we have added almost 4 to 5 crores of order book in the last year. So we are expecting it to grow every month as we move forward.
Right. But do you see that visibility, like currently when you see Q1 or Q2, do you see that type of visibility for next, say, couple of quarters?
Yes, that is 100% going to expand and grow from what we have at the moment because our efforts are growing in that direction. To expand a little bit to this, we have our local team sitting in the US, which is also helping us to have better rates to our customers. So through that combination of having execution from India and the local team sitting in the US helping us to acquire bigger projects than what we had before. So as I mentioned, so far our ticket size was 2 to 3 crores, highest ticket size for the project size. And now we are targeting like 8 to 10 crores of the project. So that will eventually have a better growth in the upcoming years.
Right, ma'am. And
Mr. Amit, I would request you to please rejoin the queue again for more questions.
Sure, thanks.
Thank you. We will take the next question from the line of Tahir Hyderabadwala from Groby Spant. Please go ahead.
Hi, Good evening, ma'am. Thank you for the opportunity. Congrats on the good set of numbers.
Two, three
questions. First of all, on the, like, when you see this result, H2 result, the large part of the growth has come from the acquisition-led growth, like inorganic growth. So, where do you see getting, like, our organic growth that slowed down? So, going forward, there will be some sort of limit we can rely on inorganic growth. So, any point of view on that side?
So, if I talk about the last financial year, our inorganic growth, as you're saying, is not that much into the proportion. The acquisition happened on 3rd of March. So, it was hardly an addition of 1 month of numbers to our existing growth. So, major part what we have achieved is the contribution from the organic growth side.
Okay. And one question on the receivable side. Receivable days have expanded from 73 days to 108 days. Is it specific to any geography by geography or client stretch, anything? Any client concentration risk?
So usually our timeline for the recovery of the payments is anytime between 30 to 45 days. So major category falls under that. And the type of customers that we are dealing with are absolutely good level of customers. So we never face any kind of difficulty in the receivables. And if you would like to know more about exact numbers, I think my CFO can throw better lights on this. Vinayak?
Yes. Sure, I would like to answer that. So in account receivables, the major portion is related to the related party only, and that we have accelerated collection in the month of April and May itself. So current situation, like I will tell you that we are maintaining 60 days DSO on receivable side.
60 days?
Yes.
One question on the recent acquisition of Edward Parr. What are the revenues and margins there in client profile of this company?
So the revenue that they have achieved in the calendar year of Jan to December 2025 was approximately 14 crores. And the margins, I think, Vinayak, can you just explain the margin areas?
Yeah, I would like to highlight that acquisition has been made in the month of March itself. So 1 month only we have considered in our consolidation, so that we can see around 1.5 CR we have added in the top line. And in bottom line, around 40 lakhs we have added in PAT.
No, sir, I'm asking for the margins which Edward Parr is generating. I got that we have acquired in March.
Yeah, so for Edward Parr Architect, last calendar year, the firm has added 14 crores of turnover in financial calendar year 2025, and they are earning margins of around 10 to 12%.
Fat margins.
Yes, fat margins.
And sir, one question on the organic growth part. Sorry if I'm repeating. When I see standalone numbers, standalone part, we have grown only 22%, but on the consolidated level, we have grown around 60%. So I guess this will be a base of the subsidiaries revenue. So I was talking about that part for the inorganic and organic growth point of view.
I will add some points here. See, we have acquired total three companies in the United States
yes.
is contributing to the total group, right? One is Midwest, then Rapco, and then Edward Parr Architects. Now what happened when we went ahead into the journey, we started focusing on business development and project management side to be taken care by the acquired companies, wherein the actual operation and execution was happening back in India. And that's why that is the business model that we are having. That's why we cannot separate these companies right now, because altogether they are focusing on sales side. That means customer relations, providing on-field supports and all of that, wherein the execution side is being completely taken care of by the Tailgate Projects Limited, the parent company. So that is a mix of everything. So we cannot completely bifurcate like this company is having that performance, because everything is merged and altogether working as in one company now.
Okay. And one last question.
Sorry to interrupt you, Tahir. I will request you to please rejoin the queue again for more questions.
Okay.
Thank you. We will take the next question from the line of Vansh Sedi from Street Smart Investment. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations for the good set of results. So continuing on the same participant questions, ma'am. So what's the acquisition multiple we have paid for the Edward article?
Vijay sir, if you can explain it.
So yeah, we have paid at 2. Multiple of 2.5 times of the EBITDA.
2.5 of the EBITDA. Okay.
2.5 times of the EBITDA.
Got it. And the second question is, may I know the attrition rate for the FY26 for the company?
You mean the employee attrition rate?
Right.
It's actually very less, anywhere between 10%, I would say, because most of the employees that we have retained, and there are very less possibilities when the good level of resources have left us. So it was not that bad.
So are you talking about the standalone entity or are you talking about the merged entities also, your subsidiaries?
So the subsidiaries have zero attrition in that sense. So, we have retained all the employees for the acquired companies and they are 100% with us. And we do not see anybody leaving us any soon. The numbers I have thrown here is just for the India operations.
Okay, ma'am. On the last question is, whatever I understand, India's key advantage in BIM service today is cost arbitrage versus Western market. So how sustainable do you believe this advantage is over the next 5 to 10 years? And also with increasing adoption of AI-driven automation and generative tools, do you see a risk of lower-end modeling work getting commoditized or potentially impacting pricing power and margins of the industry?
Okay. Thank you for your question. It's a very good question, actually. So the vision that we started this business was the same, right? We wanted to have the maximum execution capacity sitting in India so that we can have better margins into our business. Now, not only relying on the hiring and training and getting the work done, we are actively working on AI integration into our services. Now, we consider AI as a tool for us, wherein we are trying to optimize our workflow by avoiding the repetitive task using AI techniques. This is one of the factors that we are focusing going forward. And other thing is, we are not just sticking to one place. We are still growing and progressing. In last 2 to 3 years, we have grown our another branch in Latur. Now, the last year, we have expanded in Nashik region. So wherever we get the better resources who can directly contribute to the better workflow, we are trying to expand in that region and try to provide maximum support to our acquired companies. On the other hand side, what we are doing, the US companies are helping us to have the local presence, which help us to get the better rates from the customer. So altogether, in coming 2 to 3 years, we are focusing, the growth will be quite high because of the integration of these two locations, overseas and local, as well as increasing the supply chain. So right now, as we were just focusing on the structural side of the business, now we are expanding into the architectural side. This will help us get the complete project under one roof, wherein we can cover architecture, interior, structural design, building information modeling, and all the BIM coordination at one place. So that is our future plan, and we are already on track with it.
Okay, ma'am. Thank you so much for the upcoming day.
Sure.
All the-
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. We will take the next question from the line of Deepak Poddar from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Okay, okay. Yeah. Thank you very much for this opportunity. Ma'am, I just wanted to understand first up, you mentioned 60-70% CAGR, right? That includes the inorganic revenue contribution as well, right?
Sir, as I mentioned, now that becomes an organic for us because we are just shifting everything as an operation side to our parent business. So for us, inorganic growth going forward will be the new acquisitions that we will look for, out for. But existing all the subsidiaries will be a part of our organic growth only.
Okay. And any new acquisition planned for this year?
We are absolutely looking forward to have more and better and bigger acquisitions going forward. Nothing is identified as such. We are still looking out for it. But we are open to add on few other services to our portfolio like MEP, Mechanical Electrical Plumbing and Design Services. So as soon as we get a better opportunity, we are always open to it.
Okay, okay. So earlier you had mentioned that we were looking to add MEP services and architectural detailing services, right? But with this Edward acquisition, your architectural detailing services, that capability has been built, right? Would that be a fair assumption?
Yes, that is 100% correct. Now we have added architectural design as well as interior design, both the services into our existing portfolio.
And now for more acquisition, we are looking at MEP as an area where you would like to build your capability.
That's right. That's right.
And in terms of margins, I think you mentioned to one of the participants, you expect the current margin going forward similar to what we have done. So what's the, comparable base? Is it FY26 whole year as a base? What is the base we are looking at in terms of comparison?
Yeah, so for the next financial year, the 26-27, we are trying to continue with the Q4 performance. So the PAT that we have achieved in the Q4 was between 20 to 23%, I guess. And then EBITDA was approximately 35%. So we are trying to maintain the same values in the upcoming year, not trying to go below that, yeah.
Okay. Understood. And in terms of seasonality, do we have any seasonality in our business?
Definitely it is, but it's not too heavy. Usually our Q4s are always better because of the regions that we deal with. There are better decision-making process going on in the Q4 side. Q3 is better, fine, but usually Q2 becomes low compared to Q1, Q3 and Q4. So that's the seasonal business impact, but usually we try to cover it with the other regions. As we are working with different countries, we try to balance out the teams into different regions there.
Okay, understood. So ideally your fourth quarter revenue was close to 14
crores. Sorry
to interrupt
in between, Deepak. I would request.
It's just the last thing.
Yeah, sure, no problem. We can take it. Yeah.
Ma'am, he has left the queue.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you. We will take the next question from the line of Kapil Advani from Arc Growth Fund. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Congratulations, ma'am, for a good set of Q4 results.
Thank you.
My first question is on the order book. How much of the order book in that we have of 25 crore includes from our new acquisition?
No, it's not from the new acquisition. It's a combination of both our existing business and the new acquisition. So 25 crores is the actual orders that we are holding in our hands right now. And our pipeline is about 6 crores, which is in the bidding stage at the moment.
Okay. Do we have a bifurcation of the orders that we have from new acquisition, Edward?
Yes, approximately yes. Our architectural business, the newly acquired company, has been considered to approximately around 10 crores.
10 crores. Okay.
Yeah.
And then second part of the question is, how much is the 25 crore order book is from the US only?
I think, Abhinayak, can you just give the bifurcation here?
Approximately 80% we can see, 80% of the order book is from US region only.
Got it. And then do you see any challenges in the orders and the pipeline, any delay you are seeing in the infra projects in the US due to the ongoing war between Iran and US?
There has been no change into our business so far. There was a critical situation in last few months globally, but that has not impacted in any sense to our business because we are working in a different sector. Like, we have diversification, not only focusing on the US on only one side. We have different sides of the US and different services. We work with fabricators, developers. So ideally, no impact, and we are focused. If anything goes unplanned, we are prepared for it, as we are focusing on Australia, Europe region as well.
Got it. Got it.
Yeah.
And then my second question is on the employee cost, that I think we have increased our employee cost by almost 100% this year. So how many employees we have hired in FY26, and what is the total number of headcount that we have currently?
Right. The total headcount at the moment is between 200 to 250. Compared to the last financial year, we have approximately increased 70 people internally. And that was with a vision, because we were building a very strong pipeline through our sales team sitting in India and US both. And that's why we have kept some employee structure on bench so that they can perform better in coming financial year.
Okay, understood. And then could you please, if you could share the bifurcation between the offices in India, the headcount?
Yeah, sure. Vinayak, if you have the exact numbers, can you tell this?
Yeah, sure. So around 200 employees are in operations, 10% in sales, and the back-end office is around 20%, including management.
No, I think they are referring to the locations. In the US, we have around 25 people, and rest of the headcount is sitting in India. At different locations. You are in Latur, Nashik, and Pune all together. Yeah.
Got it. That's all from my end. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We will take the next follow-up question from the line of Amit Mahindali from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the follow-up. Ma'am, my question, again, revolves around EBITDA. So, we also looked at some other players like Multic Technologies or some other competitors, and a lot of them have EBITDA margins are closer to, say, 20%, 22% odd. So what gives you confidence that, you know, we will do 30-35% of EBITDA margins? Is it because, we have customers in the large portion of customers you expect from the US and the pricing is better? Or because we are, we have not fully scaled, so as we scale, the margins will slowly dip to
22%? Well, there are many different factors that we are working on it and how we are different from the other competitors. Now, as I say, we have a local team working in the US, which is helping us target better rates to the customer. In previous years, we used to stick to rates between $25 to $35 per hour. Now what we are targeting is $45 to $60 per hour even. And that's why we are optimistic that going forward, our project prices will increase comparatively. So that is one of the things. And on the other hand side, how we are trying to control our operations is, there are two things again. We are trying to expand into rural regions. As I said, we are expanding into Nashik and Latur, some areas like that, and also working on AI integration so that we can get better and more output from less number of resources compared to the previous years. So both these sides will eventually help us to have better margins going forward.
Right, sir. And on the AI, what type of tools are we using for AI? Are we using Claude or are there any specialized tools that you're using?
Yes, Claude by Anthropic is definitely we are focusedly using right now, but they are very customized level of automation that we are doing at the moment, like technology that we use, Tekla structures, SGS2 and Revit structures. So these are the softwares who are also introducing AI integration into their existing software, and we are customizing it to our customer needs, which will help us reduce time to finish one task. So that is a customized level of AI integration that we are focusing.
Great, ma'am. And out of the revenue, how much you can say is the recurring revenue? Like suppose you have, you know, out of the current FY20 reported revenue, like how much revenue will you attribute as recurring revenue?
Vijay sir, if you can explain it better.
Yeah, so our almost 60% to 70% revenue comes from our existing clients, and as we grow and expand our regions, we are targeting to grow and expand our sales to other locations. So that will give us an edge to expand as well as to add more customers on a retainership basis.
Right. I mean, what I meant was that 60% from existing customers is great, but what is the nature of the, you know, projects? Is it like a project that runs for 12 months, 18 months, then it stops? Or it is like the business will continue for a long period of time? What is the cyclicality for that revenue?
Understood. So usually our project life cycle varies a lot. Some projects might get finished within a period of 1 month, and some projects even go for couple of years. So the type of projects completely varies. So sometimes, as I said in previous questions, that now we are targeting a project ticket size of 8 CR to 10 CR maybe, and that kind of project may last for a longer period. And if we have multiple projects like that, that will help us to have better revenue month-on-month basis.
Right, ma'am. And my last question is on debt. So any outlook for debt for next 2 years? Like if we're acquiring, you know, what ticket size are we looking? Are we looking to take any new debt? Maybe, you know, some indication of what do you expect your debt levels to be for next 2 years would be great.
We have not planned anything like that. So whatever opportunities we will get in future, we will have a different kind of arrangement for the further acquisitions. There are many other options available. So sometimes there are different funding options available, but debt is something that we are not actively looking forward to. We will have different type of arrangements suitable to that particular opportunity.
So you may dilute, I mean, you may do rights issue or you may dilute equity as well going forward, raise some capital?
I don't think so. Not so early. Not this year at least.
Okay, ma'am. Great. That's it from my end. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. We will take the next follow-up question from the line of Tahir Hyderabadwala from Gobri's Fund. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity again. I had just one question on the IPO fund utilization. Like we have utilized around 7 crore and just this we have not utilized. So any acquisition pipeline in FY27 we have considered like for an acquisition in the next coming quarter or?
So we have identified few opportunities and we are still evaluating them. We have not drawn any conclusion like to go ahead with them or not, but we have definitely made a provision for the funding for that kind of opportunities. If you would like to know numbers, I think Vinayak, you can explain better what kind of provisions that we have made.
We have taken deviation in the object issue from office, buying office premises. So 5 crore we have made provision for this kind of acquisitions only.
Okay. Thank you, that's
it. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. We will take the next question from the line of Kausar Babrekar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Are you able to hear me?
Yes, very clearly, sir.
Yeah. So very good job on a great set of numbers. You had guided, I think, for around 37, 38 crore and you have achieved 40. So that's quite impressive. So congratulations to you and your team.
Thank you so much.
My first question is, in the consolidated numbers, if you look, the employee cost as a percent of revenue is quite high for this year. It's around 45%. And last year, it was, I think, around 35. So going forward, will we sustain this or with growth, do you think that the employee cost is bound to increase?
Okay. So you are right. The employee cost has been high compared to the last year. That is with a purpose because we were seeing a very good pipeline coming in. So we went ahead and took a decision that we should hire some leadership team which will support the future growth. Like we have added the business development heads. We have added the head of departments, regional heads. And as I said, we have expanded the Nashik team. All of them are experienced people because we wanted to provide a direct support to our US team from them. So that kind of investments we have done with a purpose which will help us for the future growth. And definitely this year, we are not planning to increase any leadership team, but we will only have expanded execution team. So the growth will not that much into the employee cost as compared to the last year.
Okay, thank you so much. And the next question is, so I think in the last con call you had mentioned that you are running at around 4.5 crore per month of revenue run rate. So from that you will be doing it from January, I think from January 26th. So are you at that same run rate or...
Yeah, we are targeting a better revenues going forward. I cannot disclose the exact numbers right now. But as I said, I will go back to my statement that if I look at the whole year, in medium terms, we are confident to achieve almost 60 to 70 CAGR growth.
Okay. Thank you so much. Makes sense. Thanks a lot, Anol.
Thank you.
A reminder to all, you may press star and one to ask a question. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. We have the next follow-up question from the line of Kaustubh Pabrekar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the follow-up. I just have another question. That is, how many new clients that you have added this year or maybe this quarter?
Yeah, actually, the total customer count we have for this financial year was 96. So if you would like to have a bifurcation, like how many new we have added, Vinayak, can you just tell me the added number from this?
Yeah, around 20 new clients we have added in this quarter.
Okay, and these are mostly from the US?
US only, right.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions from the participants, we conclude the question and answer session. I now hand the conference back to Ms. Shraddha Telge for the closing comments. Thank you and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And I would like to really thank everyone joining this call. We remain highly confident in our growth trajectory. No doubt, we are very ambitious and looking forward to great growth numbers in the future, both in the near term and the long term, driven by strategic investments and unwavering commitments to advancing our services and technologies. Also creating value for all of our stakeholders and shareholders. We are investing deeply into our capabilities in terms of people, capacity, technology utilization, and competencies across the fields. I hope we have been able to respond to most of the queries today. For any further information that might be required on your side, we request you to please get in touch with our IR team. Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you, members of the management. On behalf of Telge Projects Limited, we conclude this conference. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.